The greatest way you teach any lesson in life is by example. If I want to see a behavior or a discipline in the life of my child, I need to choose to set the example. Nothing could be closer to the truth. This is obvious in the teaching of the lesson of listening. If I'm a parent that's not listening, I'll raise a child who doesn't listen.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, this week, talking about the how-tos of listening, teaching our children this skill, and probably a skill that we could all improve on as well as parents, listening to our kids, really learning who our kids are by hearing their hearts, hearing what they're going through, spending time with them, not just doing stuff all the time that doesn't require communication. That's why movie nights sometimes, I'm like, okay, it's nice to have movie nights, but then we miss out on the whole talking to each other, and you might as well cross off the whole night if you're going to go out to a movie. It's 2 hours of non-talking.
We could almost all go to separate rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're sitting next to each other, but we're not doing anything. We're not communicating at all. We're not doing anything at all. One of the hardest times to actually listen as a parent is when we totally disagree with our child.
And that happens a lot.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, only if you have children. Mm-hmm. And when the child puts something on there that you completely disagree with, one of the most difficult things is to do two things here. One is to calm the child down and say, I'm going to let you talk as long as you're respectful. You get loud, we're done here. And then, honey, when I talk and you keep asking why, I'm going to answer that for you. But I'm going to listen to you right now. Mm-hmm. And then it's very difficult for us as parents because we know that we know that we know this is what we're doing or this is the right thing. And this child is either pushing our buttons because they enjoy that. That's the sport. Or they actually are impassioned about this opinion of they ought to be able to wear that out in public, whatever it is. And taking the time to listen, because it's not just about making the decision for this instance. It's about teaching the process of listening and teaching the process of thinking. Rosemary had an aunt. Her name was Jill Rennick. And Jill Rennick was probably the founder of Women's Retreats with an organization called Winning Women 60 years ago. And she and Jill Briscoe really did some great stuff together. She had a husband, though, Fred Rennick, who was a brilliant man. And we would spend the summers and see them. And he would be masterful at having all these young 20-somethings around him. And you knew whatever they were putting on the table, you just kind of sensed, is that really right? I can't imagine that's right with that guy saying. But Uncle Fred would listen and ask a couple of creative questions, and he would force you to start thinking out loud. Every one of us wants to know our child's opinion. The problem is when we hear our child's opinion, we want to shut it down immediately because we want their opinion to be our opinion.
Or correct it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Cut them off in mid-sentence. And here's another interesting thing. I am much better at listening to other people's children than my own. I can let other people's children, you know, put it out there on the table and realize this is absolutely ridiculous, but go for it. But when it's your own, you're so personally vested in this.
Yeah.
And so you end up cutting them off. I think we have to decide, if I want to teach this skill and this discipline and this character quality of listening, I've got to be a listener. Mm-hmm. And listening is not anything that you do passively. It's not just this passive activity of keeping my mouth shut. Listening is actually hearing what they're saying and trying to figure out why they're saying it. Where is this coming from and who gave this to them, and putting this whole all the W's, who, what, why, and where'd they get this from. And then from there, after they've, okay, are you done? I want to comment on that. We don't want to take the time to do that. And so we miss teaching a lesson. We miss teaching listening.
I'm going to throw this out on the table and see what you think. A friend of mine, she's a therapist too, and we were talking about unconditional love, not just for the immediate family, but extended family, how to display unconditional love, especially when there's a child that's coming out with all kinds of crazy things. They're learning things at school. They're coming home with all kinds of crazy thoughts. And there are some families that say, okay, we love you no matter what, but we're not going to go down this road. We're not going to talk about this issue that you're dealing with because that's not part of our moral values. And she challenged that thought. She said, you know what? That's not unconditional love. She said, unconditional love doesn't mean I agree with you on everything. It means I am always going to be listening to you no matter what you say. And I'm still going to love you despite it, even if I disagree. But I'm not going to shut you out, and I'm not going to stop an area of conversation because I don't agree with it and I don't want to talk about it.
Or because I'm uncomfortable with it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with her for a different reason. unconditional love, I think, is a different level for me anyway. And everybody's got a different opinion. But I think my child has an opinion and my child's getting stuff put in that head. I want to know what it is. And so I want to permit those conversations. And the child generally knows where I'm going to end up anyway.
They do.
Yeah, they know what my opinion is, but they have the need to put it on the table and they have to have somebody to talk to. So are they going to talk to it about me? Or are they going to talk to Facebook? Or are they going to talk to somebody at school we don't even know? I want to be the one that they're talking to about it. I want to be the one they're talking about their sexuality to. And I want to be the one where they're putting the difficult questions on the table. But if I shut them down, then they'll slowly realize, you know, this isn't a good or safe place to talk. Mm-hmm. When I have a different opinion of my parents, they stop listening. They shut me down. So I'm going to find somebody to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. There's some little boy that'll talk to her on the phone about it, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. I want to be the one that they come to. I want to be the one they feel comfortable. Whether my dad agrees with me or not, I'm still allowed to talk about it and put it on the table. I want to be a safe place for opinion. Doesn't mean I'm changing my opinion. Doesn't mean I'm caving in. Doesn't mean we're ever doing that. But I still want to be a safe place. I think that's sometimes one of the values of television. All of a sudden, there's something being advertised on television that's so contrary to who you are. Mm-hmm. And many times we just decide, you know what, I'm throwing the television out. Mm-hmm. And this one squeaked in on us. So it's an opportunity to stop the television and say, what'd you think about what that commercial was? What was that commercial selling? I mean, it was a car, but it was a girl in a bikini. But it was selling a car, but it was a girl in a bikini. So, Roby, tell me what you think that was really selling. Well, mm-hmm. What do you mean, Dad? I don't know. Where was the focus in that? Mm-hmm. And getting them to listen to everything and then letting them disagree. It's okay to disagree. In fact, it's healthy to disagree.
Right. And work it out.
It's healthy to disagree. It's healthy to work it out. And it's healthy to disagree respectfully. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I want to even teach them to respectfully have the ability to very respectfully, and there'll be many disagree with me on this, be able to disagree with authority figures. Hmm. And if an authority figure is challenging them to have an opinion or to do something that's I want them to have the ability to know how to do it respectfully. I don't want them to cower, but I want them to have had the practice with me because I listened. That prepares them for that university campus. Mm-hmm. But they need to be respectful in the process. But they need to know, hey, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Because I want you to practice this. Mm-hmm. I want you to practice this difference of opinion.
I'm going to just take a break to remind our listeners that you can listen to this program all over again, podcast it as well, and all the links are on parentingtoday.org where you can share it with your friends. And we're talking about listening by example, being the example as a parent. But what if you haven't been that example? Your communication with your child is shot. Maybe your life has changed in the past couple years. Maybe you came to faith in Christ and now you're different, but by now your kid's 16. Mm. And the last 2 years you've been a little different, but it was horrible before then. And they don't even care to open up their mouth and tell you anything. Mm. How can you even begin to set an example for listening when that communication barrier is just totally down?
Well, or there's been trauma. There's been a divorce, so there's been a loss. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's been spending the past year to 2 years in this grief process and kind of regrouping personally. And I like the way he said it two different ways. Whether I connect or not, I can still listen.
Okay.
And whether it's getting them to talk. No one's going to talk if no one's listening. And I think it's finding the venues. We're going to talk tomorrow about beginning the process of finding the venues for the best listening. And it's different with each child.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still do my part. I think we tend to think I've blown it. It's too late. It is absolutely never, ever too late. If I thought it was too late, we wouldn't be doing residential care for teenagers. We've gotten them after a decade and a half almost and having to retweak the process. I do think, though, the longer we have been in a bad habit of not listening, the harder it is to turn the corner. And I've got to be very overt and intentional about it. And I've got to set those difficult scenarios, like deciding every Wednesday morning we're going to go to breakfast before school and sit at McDonald's and stare at each other and nobody's saying anything and it's pretty bizarre and what am I doing here as a parent? And throwing open-ended questions out there. And when the child says, I don't care, I don't know, and just continuing to open. And
how much do you do that, though? Because that can get exhausting,
you do that
too,
the rest of your life with them until all of a sudden something opens. We watch it with so many, especially the little boys here. It's very different with the little girls, and maybe I'm actually contradicting something I said about little boys or girls. yesterday. The little boys are so used to just one-syllable answers.
Yes.
The little girls will talk the whole half hour without anything of,
if you're listening,
substance.
They'll talk,
And getting them a little more on substance. But I think it's letting them know I'm really listening by commenting on something they said, you know, last Wednesday. And they're thinking, wow, you actually heard what I said last Wednesday? Or I think I hurt your feelings by something I said because I watched your face. No, well, it seemed like I hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just kind of seemed like I hurt your feelings by something that was said. And I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And I know what it's like to have my feelings hurt. I think opening those doors and just letting them begin. Somebody has to do this. And I'd rather have it be us at 16 than a wife at 26 when it's very, very, very discouraging. It's a process that I'm really just responsible for my part as the parent and my part of setting the example. God's responsible to open their mouth. I'm responsible to make it easier to open their mouth. And let me say, when they open that mouth, don't jump down that throat.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful. And you got two kinds of kids. That one kid will open the mouth and say, oh, really? You want to listen to me? Watch me put this on the table and see what you do. And calmly just processing and calmly just saying, well, you know, I know that you know I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's interesting the way you put it. I just want them to talk.
Yeah.
And I just want them to learn by my example. And I want to begin. I don't want to conquer the world in this 1.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to begin to open the door.
But you also have to set the example by listening, you know, to your spouse too, because you can develop some nice skills, but really if your listening isn't good in your marriage and, you know, you talk to your spouse in front of your kids and all that, and you're constantly correcting each other, things. It wasn't 7, it was 7:30. 7:30, and you start this whole argument. Yeah, you think your kids are going to say anything to you?
Or you think you're endorsing marriage for them.
Right.
Wow, that's okay. I'm not sure I want that in my
life. Right, and they'll mirror it. Even with fighting with their siblings. Why? Because you're fighting.
Absolutely.
Fighting's cool in marriage, even more in sibling rivalry.
Absolutely. When Roby was in probably the end of middle school, he had some of his friends over. And a bunch of guys were over the house spending the night. And Rosemary and I were out on the patio, and we stood out there pretty much the whole night. And he told me later, one of the friends said to Roby, is your dad in trouble? And Roby said, why? I says, because they've been out there a long time. And Roby asked me, what do you think that meant? I said, well, it might mean his parents never sit out on the patio and talk. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We do role model a lot for them that they don't necessarily label as my parents are communicators, but they see that as this is what we're supposed to do later on and learn to do, and every now and then pull them into that dynamic of actually one-on-one communication. But you're right. What we do in our marriage, for those of us that are married, it is so pivotal. This is the real marriage they walk away with. Television is television. This is the real marriage of, is it safe to disagree with dad and watching mom? And I know there used to be an adage, you should never disagree in front of the children. And I don't agree with that. I think what the children desperately need to see is us disagree agreeably, is us be able to, for Rosemary, say, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that. And watching the children look down the table and realize, wow, really? Well, what are you thinking?
What's dad going to do?
Yeah, and watching them realize that we are really one flesh. And one flesh means we can talk and disagree and come to some kind of consensus on that or agree to disagree, whichever it is. But children are desperate for that. We're not endorsing marriage anymore by our example.
Mm-hmm.
Children are growing up and they're not getting married at 18 point whatever. I haven't for decades. They're getting married at 28, 29, 30, 31, if they're getting married.
Right.
And so we have to be very, very careful. One of the great cushions, I think it was Norm Wright call, he said communication was the central nervous system of a marriage relationship, but listening was the blood flow.
Wow.
He said, you having to have somebody that finally is willing to listen to you and not just listen to you to get it out,
mm-hmm.
but cares and is letting you take your time. It is so important. Our children need that. Our children need to see our example. They need the blessing of, I am worth my dad's ears. I don't just get his mouth, I get his ears. Take the time to listen to your children and set the example.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you want more resources on marriage and even parenting, you can find them on Sheridan House Family Ministries' website. It's short for that, the abbreviation shfm.org. And to hear this program again, share it with your spouse or your friends and read the corresponding daily blog. You can find that all online at parentingtoday.org. Even sign up to get it on the automatic downloads or podcasts. That's all online at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more on this topic of the how-tos of listening here on Parenting Today.